This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here in day three of Holy Week. And if you haven't had a chance to tune in the program this week, I've been trying to draw a picture, taking time to understand the nature of what the battle is that Jesus is entering into. Because as we know well, the act of love, we'll take a deeper look at this today, that what we see on the cross is the love of Christ, the love of the Father, Jesus' total love of the Father. That's where the power was, right? We're going to talk about that. But also, Jesus knew who his enemy was. And his enemy wasn't people. He understood the enslaved condition of the human race, even though they may have set themselves against Christ as enemies. And we were, as Paul said, looking at Ephesians chapter 2 on this past Monday, he said, you know, we were by nature children of wrath. And part of that was we were also being caught in sin and then conniving with sin, agreeing with sin, being under the dominion of sin and its power made us enemies of God. But Jesus came to save us. His heart toward us is mercy. He understood the condition that we were in, which is why he came. His fundamental enemy is Satan and all the demons that are enslaved under the rule and dominion of Satan, and they're set against the human race and the will of God. And this is why the drama of what happens on the cross, there's nothing ever in history, friends, that even comes remotely close to the significance of what we're about to share together in this week. This is real. This really happened. This is the real spiritual battle that was underlying the whole thing is real. There really is a heaven. There really is a hell. There really is a devil. And there is a king, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the eternally begotten Son of the Father who took on human flesh that came to make war and to destroy the bonds, to break the bonds of slavery that's over the human race. That is absolutely true. So if you didn't have a chance to tune in yesterday's program, I took the day to just read a section of a document that Pope Paul VI, or a talk he had given back in 1972 about the reality of the devil, the nature of who he is, his tactics, and why it's important for us to really believe what's revealed in the Word of God, and then reflecting on our own lives and the condition of the world, that's what explains the evil that's present in the world and the constant disorder. And in a fallen world, the resistance the world has to acknowledging God and then to submitting to the will of God and then walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus is the Father's lifeline that he's given to this race of people made in his image who he himself created and loves. He's given us the one lifeline. That's the person of Jesus. And I want to look today a little bit closer at a passage from John's gospel that reveals something to me, a passage I've spoken about this in previous years, but a passage that, for my two cents, communicates the most intimate personal expression of the heart of Jesus in the most dramatic moments of his life, where he's talking to his closest friends. And it's in the context of the Last Supper discourse in John's gospel. And I'd recommend to you, if you're able to take some time this week, I'd strongly recommend read slowly through the Last Supper discourse of John, which basically begins in John 13 and then makes its way at the washing of the feet, the Last Supper. So it's John 13 and it goes all the way through John 17. And then chapter 18 begins with the arrest of Jesus. You know, as a friend of mine once said, you know, this is the greatest teaching of the greatest teacher who's ever walked the planet. The beauty, the depth, the humanity, the love, the clarity of what's unfolding in the drama that we're walking through this week is so powerfully presented here. It's life-changing just reading it. In John 14, the second chapter in the Last Supper discourse, Jesus says some very, very powerful things. And so the apostles don't fully understand what's coming. It's Holy Thursday night, and Jesus is going to be arrested, and then Good Friday happens. Just prior to the beginning of 14 is Jesus foretelling Peter's denial. I mean, in each of the Gospels where it's written, you know, the story of the denial, it is just so revealing, and my heart just breaks for Peter. And I know Peter is forever here in the Gospels, the very man who didn't fully understand himself, didn't understand the depth of how much sin and weakness in the human heart was present, the sin-sick heart, and that even with his desire to say, "I'm your man, Lord, not me," he too had a revelation where he denied him three times. Verse 36, chapter 13, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me, Peter? Truly, truly, I say to you, the cock will not crow till you have denied me three times." You know, one of the other Gospels, you know, says, Peter, no way. He doubles back. Essentially, I would never do that. He didn't fully understand, despite all the teaching that he'd received from the Lord over the 3 years. But it's the same man who Jesus makes the first pope. It's really, really something. Now, John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." It's a good thing to remember for each one of us. Don't let your heart be troubled. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So Jesus is helping them, saying, look, don't worry about what's going to come. The words I'm telling you now are troubling, but don't let your heart be troubled. And then he goes further. I mean, he loves these brothers and sisters, and the apostles in particular, and a lady, whoever's there at the Last Supper. I mean, these are his closest friends. In verse 4, and he said, "And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know. Where are you going? How can we know where?" Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and you have seen him." So Jesus is saying to see him is to see the Father. That dialogue continues. Really good stuff throughout the chapter, but this is the part I want to get to here at the end. In verse 30, finally says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." So here is one of the most intimate, I think, sentences in the whole and all the Gospels, where Jesus is saying, friends, listen to me. Don't be afraid. You know, don't let your hearts be troubled, but listen to me. And here's what I'm telling you. I won't be with you much longer. And this is why. The reason is that the ruler of this world is coming. Jesus is talking about Satan. And he's coming after Jesus. And the culmination of the battle is about to unfold. They don't fully understand what he's saying, but he wants them to know. He doesn't want them to focus on the enemy. He doesn't want them to worry about anything, but he wants their minds to be clear. He said, but this, understand this. The ruler of this world has no power over me, so don't worry about him. But I do as the Father commands me to do. So what Jesus is saying, what's about to unfold is not the work of the devil in the sense of he doesn't have any power over me, Jesus said. I'm in charge. And I want you, my best friends, to understand what is happening and the fact that I am in charge and why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why is this all unfolding? The whole world is not collapsing on you. All the dreams, everything that I said to you, it's not falling away. The devil's not going to have a victory over me. But you, my friends, I want you to understand, I do everything the Father commands me to do. And so the Father's commanded him to walk the steps. He said, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Here's Jesus's fundamental motivation. What does he most want the world to know about everything that he's doing? I love the Father. Love is motivating him. Love is motivating him. And he wants the apostles, his closest friends, please understand. So many words he could have said, when I'm hanging on that cross, don't be afraid. I'm freely choosing to be there because that act is an act of love. It's the act of love, which is obedience to the Father, which is the love language of heaven. And we know the beautiful hymn, talk about periodically here on the program, different times during the year, Philippians 2. And Paul is saying, because he heard the words of Jesus, he understands it, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is revealing his mind here to the apostles. What's his mind? What's his motive? What's happening? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. First taking on the form of a servant, that is, letting, you know, not lording over, just emptying himself, becoming one of us, becoming a human being. I mean, it's mind-boggling, that act of humility. It says, being born in the likeness of men, verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, death on a cross. This act of love was a decision to humble himself. Jesus said, remember, I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. Meekness does not mean weakness. It means living under, you know, the rule of love. Like, it's everything yielded to right-ordered love. First and foremost, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So Jesus' death on the cross is an act of humility, and that humility is a decision that he made, and then he expressed the humility through obedience. Through obedience, even to the point of death. No limit obedience. Going all the way. Because obedience is the love language of heaven. And Jesus is saying, this is what humanity is created for. This is what the resistance of the kingdom and the world and the flesh has caused people to have their minds blinded, to turn away from this, to not understand the fundamental meaning of human life is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is your purpose. This is your identity. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what's being revealed. And Jesus wants the apostles to know it and understand it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.